Well, let's open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We have begun a series, Rob began it last Sunday, called The Ministry of Jesus, Mighty in Word and Deed. So in the course of the spring and the summer, we're going to be looking at Jesus' mighty words in the parables and then Jesus' mighty deeds in his miracles. The passage we're going to look at this morning is a very familiar parable, the parable of the four soils. And it begins very much like the passage did last week. Verse 1, soon afterwards, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Last week, Rob emphasized that word, proclaim, that Jesus did not merely come to teach. He comes to proclaim. Rob explained that that's an authoritative teaching that requires a response on our part that demands action. At this point in our worship service, you're hearing God's word proclaimed. And as you hear it, I want you to hear Jesus' question to us in the parable this morning. His question is, how are you hearing? How are you hearing the proclaimed word of God? Listen for the repeated word here. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 8. Soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but they go on their way. They are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Let's pray. Father, as we hear the words of our ruling and redeeming King this morning, we pray that by your Spirit, you would capture our mind's attention, that you would awaken our heart's affections, that we might delight in our glorious King, in his mighty word, and that by your Spirit, you would reveal his glory in fresh ways for the joy of our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus comes to the crowd that's gathered, and he's asking them in this parable, how will you listen? My wife and children have asked me that many times throughout the years. Dad, are you listening? Sometimes I find it hard to listen because there are just too many words. In fact, you may find before this sermon is through that you're thinking there's too many words. My youngest daughter was a talker. I remember coming home from work and my wife would say, "I'm so exhausted listening to Cassie." And I'm thinking, well, she just sounds like a normal child. And then when she was about 2.5 or 3 years old, I took my wife to Dulles Airport to drop her off for some trip, I'm not sure. I'm sure it was short, though. And I drove home in rush hour traffic with Cassie, my 3-year-old, sitting in the back seat, talking incessantly. My ears grew tired, my attention grew distracted, and suddenly I heard in this little 3-year-old stern voice, "Daddy, are you listening?" Sometimes I find it hard to listen simply because there are too many distractions on my mind. We were having a rousing conversation around the dinner table one evening, and I think maybe my wife was talking to me when suddenly I heard one of my children say, "Mom, can't you see Dad's still at work?" Sometimes I struggle to listen because there's just too much emotion expressed. Maybe some of you men can identify. I want you to walk with me through the passage this morning. Keep your Bible open or keep the bulletin in front of you with the passage. Let's just walk through this passage. We'll walk a little bit beyond where we read. And I want you to hear Jesus asking you, asking me, how will you listen? And how does your listening reveal your heart? Jesus starts by, he tells a parable going through the villages from town to town. He may have told this parable repeatedly. It may have been a parable that he used a number of times. It's a familiar parable to an agrarian society, a farmer casting seed into his field. On the edge of his field, there's a path, the path that walks between his fields. The ground is packed hard. The soil in Palestine is very rocky, so their plows in those days were very shallow plows because you didn't want to break your plow hitting a rock. In fact, they would collect the rocks out of their fields as they plowed them up and stack them up and build walls around their fields. Along the edge of the field, there was usually an uncultivated area, an area that maybe more stones were thrown. There was rocky soil. And then, you know, next to that rocky soil that was largely untended, the weeds would grow. Jesus pictures this casting of the seed in a farmer's field. In verse 11, he says that the seed is the word of God, the good news of the kingdom. And the point of the parable is, how will you hear the word proclaimed? There are four kinds of soils. There are four kinds of hearts that hear the word and that receive it. Three out of the four hearts hear the word, and the word is either devoured, withered, or choked. The fourth soil, the heart, hears the word, and the seed does what it is created to do. The seed bears fruit. Again, follow in the passage with me. Have the bulletin or have your Bible in front of you. Soil number one. It says in verse 5, a sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, was trampled underfoot, the birds of the air devoured it. And then Jesus interprets that in verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. He says that's one kind of hearing. The seed falls, and it never even breaks the soil of Satan's deception over the human heart. Soil 2, verse 6. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew, it withered away because there was no moisture. And he interprets that for us in verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away. Second kind of hearing. Fall away means to distance themselves from, to functionally abandon. Third soil, verse 7, and some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it. And again, Jesus interprets that in verse 14. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. The third kind of hearing, fruitless. And then the fourth soil. Look at verse 8. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he interprets that in verse 13. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And that's a fourth kind of hearing. And Jesus hammers home at the end of the parable, he hammers home his point. He makes it urgent. He says in verse 8, and he said these things, as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, hear. You see, it's not enough to have ears on the side of your head that function. Everybody in the crowd had that. His challenge is, how does your hearing reveal your heart? He goes on in verses 9 and 10, and when his disciples ask him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. He says, there's a hearing that gives evidence to the gracious work of God on a human heart. That God has given eyes to see and ears to hear the beauty and the truth and the power of the one who speaks the word, the king, the rightful king. And on the other hand, he says, these parables are spoken, and there's a seeing, but it's not seeing. There's a hearing, but it's not understanding. The word is still effective, but its effect is that it reveals the hardness and coldness of the heart that hears. Now look down to verse 16 and 18. We didn't read that, but Jesus goes on. And again, he's being very urgent. Verse 18, he says, take care then how you hear. Verse 16, follow. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. It says, take care how you hear, because the stakes are high. Positively, he says, whoever has, to him more he shall be given. But negatively, he says, whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. He's saying the light of the kingdom and the rightful king has come. It's evident. It's not hidden. He's there. He's speaking. Verse 17, one day every heart will be exposed. How did you listen to the king? And it will be evident to all how you listened. And then in verses 19 through 21, Jesus gives the final clarification. So look at that. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother, your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. How are you hearing? Jesus asked. And what does it say about your heart? Well, what is the hearing that Jesus requires? as he proclaims this good news of the kingdom. Well, let's just summarize it this way. What he asks, what he requires, is kingdom listening for kingdom living. Kingdom listening for kingdom living. Again, notice what he says in verse 1. He comes and he tells the parable in this context that he went through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Good news, gospel. That is not just a biblical concept. It is an historic concept. Long before it arrived on the pages of the New Testament, it was a word that was understood for 1,000 years historically. Good news, an epical, history-making, life-altering event. Good news. For example, where do we get the modern marathon? 26.2-mile race. Well, it originates in 490 B.C. at the Battle of Marathon. King Darius, we meet King Darius in the book of Daniel, king of Persia, had committed his army to burn Athens to the ground because it had supported a coup against his rule. He sends a massive fleet across the Aegean Sea. The battle occurs on the coast of Greece in a town called Marathon. All the Athenians greatly feared. They greatly feared because the Spartans, who were their fighting companions, would not come to that battle. And because the Persians were sending a huge army. The long and short, by a flanking maneuver, the Athenians defeat the Persian army, and legend has it that a runner, whose name I cannot pronounce, yes, Philippides, runs from Marathon to Athens, which is about 26 miles, to proclaim good news. This epical, history-changing, life-altering event. The city was safe. The Persians have been defeated. Good news. An epical, history-making, life-altering event. And what is the event? It's the good news of the kingdom of God. The promised king of the Old Testament has come to conquer evil and to undo all of its effect. And his conquest of evil begins in human hearts of his people. Hearts where he comes to rule. And they become a people of devotion and surrender and allegiance to him. Now, great crowds are following Jesus. They've experienced his teaching. He teaches as one with authority. They're amazed. They have witnessed his life-changing miracles. He's cast out demons. He's healed people. Paralysis, leprosy, Luke 7, just before this chapter, he raises the widow's son from the dead. But how are they listening? Did they truly have ears to hear? Were they listening as those who saw the king? Who surrendered their hearts to the king? A good and a glorious king. Were they listening as those like in medieval times? A knight who goes before his good and glorious Lord with his sword, and he kneels before him and he says to his Lord, "Speak, for my life is yours to command." And truly, think about it. Don't we have a good and a glorious King? Don't we? The eternal Son of God, who from all eternity was loved, delighted in, honored by the Father and the Holy Spirit, worshiped and adored by the host of heaven, willingly takes on flesh to become a servant king. He willingly takes on flesh because you can't nail a spirit to the cross. A servant king who would love the Father's saving plan and out of that love would submit himself to a life on earth of misunderstanding and dishonor and rejecting and mocking and crucifixion, that we could enjoy everlasting pleasures at the right hand of the Father. A servant king who would live the sinless life that you should live, who would die the sinner's death that you should die, so that he could freely give you the life that he alone deserves. The risen king who, along with the Father, sends the Holy Spirit to make dead hearts alive and blind eyes to see and deaf ears to hear and darkened minds to understand. To come and transform hearts such that we now treasure the only lasting treasure that there is. A gracious king before whom we stand with confidence because of his sitting at the right hand of the Father as our righteousness. A gracious king that we approach boldly because he's a merciful and faithful high priest that has suffered and been tempted in every way as we, yet without sin. And he says, come to my throne that you may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. A returning king who will one day come again and make all things new, fulfilling our deepest heart's desire for restored, redeemed, healed creation of perfect shalom. How do you listen as those who are attentive and responsive to the words of your good and glorious King? Well, in verse 15, he explains that in the fourth soil. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. How do you listen with an attentive and responsive heart to the words of the King? He says it has to be a good and honest heart. There's so much I could say about that, but let me just explain this. If you hear the King say, listen, and what you hear is duty, we need to understand that delight comes before duty. The King is saying to us, a good and honest heart is a heart that delights in a good and glorious and gracious King. And out of that delight, it longs to hear the King speak. How do you listen to your King? He says, well, verse 15. Hear the word and hold it fast in a good and honest heart. Holding fast, that word means literally to greedily seize. How do you hear? You hold fast. Like a miser taking hold of gold and silver. That's what Proverbs says. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. How do you listen? You hold fast. Like a man selling everything he has, Jesus says, to purchase the pearl of great price, the treasure in the field. How do you listen? You listen like a drowning man seizing a float, holding fast. How many of you may be thinking, as you're hearing too many words, I wonder where we're eating after church this. Holding fast, like Job, I have treasured the words of your mouth more than my portion of food. Practically. You know, as you hear the word proclaimed here on Sunday morning, do you have your Bible open? I mean, that's the seed. That's the groundbreaking, heart-shaping, powerful seed of the King. You have your Bible open? Are you following? And it says that, how else do you listen? Well, you hold fast with a good and honest heart and bear fruit with patience. You know, fruit bearing is emphasized throughout the teaching of Jesus Christ. throughout the teaching of the apostles. The evidence of the word of the good and glorious King, the evidence that it's landed on a good heart, is that it bears fruit. John 15, Jesus puts it, he puts it real straightforward. John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose and anointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And what are the implications of hearing and not bearing fruit? Again, John 15, 6, if anyone does not remain in me and my words do not remain in him, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are thrown into the fire and burned. Practically, as you come Sunday morning, as you sit before the proclamation of the Word of God, as you listen, as you hear, are you hearing with a heart that is constantly looking for the fruit that God wants to bear in your life? Do you leave Sunday morning pondering how God has sought to rule in your heart and to speak over your life and to say to you, this is the fruit that I want to work in you through my word? Can you name it? It's really interesting if you just go through the Bible and read what the writers say about fruit. You can name the fruit that Jesus Christ wants to bear in your life. It talks about the fruit of repentance, the fruit of careful versus careless words, the fruit of holiness, of a life increasingly set apart in sincere and pure devotion to Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, Spirit-shaped, Christ-imaging character, the fruit of life, of light, discovering what is pleasing to the Lord, the fruit of praise, the fruit of lips that praise His name, the fruit of generosity, the fruit of obedience. My mother and father are those who hear the word of God and do it. The fruit of the Father's discipline, righteousness and peace, fruitful labor, life being poured out into others that they might know and follow Jesus. Do you hear in such a way that when you leave on Sunday mornings, you have a sense of the fruit that God wants to bear in your life and heart through the King's word which has been spoken over you? Do you leave pondering it? Do you go into the week praying for the Spirit to apply it? But it's, you know, she says you bear fruit with patience. Bearing fruit, it's this lifelong process of patience and perseverance. Because we're all on this journey, and part of that journey is that our hearts still really struggle with the rule of the King in some ways. Our hearts still struggle with self-rule. How many times do I think, I really know better than my King does? My heart still struggles with running after other good news that I think is going to give me life, joy, meaning, and fullness. But listen to this. Because of the King's declaration that there is no longer any condemnation, a good and an honest heart can hear the Spirit's conviction and His call to freedom without being crushed, but instead being full of hope and anticipation for the work of the mighty King in your life. Well, let's just close with this. Will you take a soil sample this morning? I love during our staff meetings on Tuesday, we reflect together on the passage that's going to be preached, and I'm always learning something from our staff. And Rob mentioned the idea that he has a tree in his yard, no grass will grow under it. And you can call the Department of Agriculture and they'll come out and do a soil sample and tell you what your soil needs to grow the grass that should grow under that tree. And in a sense, what Jesus is saying through this parable to everyone here, will you do a soil sample of your heart? Is your heart like the packed down path? And when you hear the word of God, it's deflected, it's ignored. Is your heart so choked by the trials and the pressures and the losses and the pains of sorrow and the sorrows of this world that, you know, God's word just doesn't feel relevant to you? The King's word just doesn't seem helpful to you? Is your heart so ruled by anxiety about consumer cares and the pursuit of the personal pleasures of life that kingdom fruitfulness isn't on your radar? Or do you listen to the mighty word of God, your good and glorious King, like he says, with a good and honest heart, that greedily holds fast the word of God like a treasure, that by patience and perseverance are ambitious to see his fruit born? Put it another way, do you hear God's word as a fruit picker or as a fruit bearer? You're a fruit picker, it's, I wonder if anything interesting is going to be said this morning. Anything I haven't heard before. Inspiring. Fruit bearer. Holy Spirit, come and wield the King's word with power to transform my life and the life of your church for the glory of his honor. Stories told of an elderly woman leaving the service after the new pastor's sermon. And she was one of the last to get out because she was coming up slowly with her walker. She had to sit in the front so she could hear. And she arrived at the pastor and took his hand with both her hands. And she said to him, "I have never heard a sermon so bad that Jesus couldn't teach me something." Now, I thought to myself when I heard that, have I just been insulted? Or was that an affirmation? Through the course of years of getting to know this woman, it was a glorious affirmation. Because this woman delighted in her King and his word. And she truly trusted that the King would wield his word with great power to yield fruit when it was proclaimed in her life and in the life of the people. And she never stopped encouraging me. But I will never forget that first encouragement. I've never heard a sermon so bad that God couldn't teach me something. Let's pray. Father, as we go into this new week, we declare that you are the good and glorious King of our heart who has spoken. And we ask that you would come in through your word read, through your word prayed, through your word heard, that you would work fruit in our hearts and lives. So please, this week, O Lord, incline our hearts to your testimonies. Open our eyes to see wonderful things in the words of our glorious King. Unite our heart to fear your name and satisfy us with your unfailing love, that we may be glad all the days of our life. Come and do this, we pray, in Jesus' glorious name.